It's time for our Tuesdays with Tom Skilling segment, sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Hey, Tom, how's it going today? How's your Tuesday?
Anna, it's doing terrifically. I wish it was a little brighter outside. It's kind of a depressing-looking day. But, you know, Anna, we're marveling at how warm it's been this month, and it's going to continue. We could have an 80-degree weekend on the way this weekend. How about that?
Beach how about
weather
that?
Mid-October. How about that?
You know, it's funny because I love these little treats in the middle of October, and I'm sure Bill Snyder in the weather department there, who loves the hot weather, is on same page as me. But the marathon is this weekend, though, Tom, and the marathon runners do worry about it when it gets, I don't know, I think that's in that range where they get a little worried about how warm it's going to be.
I think so. You know, we had one of those marathons a couple of years ago where actually folks dropped out of it. It was so, the heat was so bad. You know, the thing that's a little concerning, Anna, is this warmth is coming in with some humidity. So what that does is keeps the nighttime and morning temperatures up. So, I imagine that for a runner is not ideal, although I think we've had worse weather in terms of the heat. But, you know, when you have a high of 81 degrees, which we're predicting on Sunday, now that's the afternoon temperature. The morning temps will probably start in the mid-60s at race time. And that's still, for a race, a marathon, a little bit warm.
Mm-hmm. That's why they do it in October, because I think it usually, typically, would be a little cooler than that. And it seems to be ideal weather. Marathon weekend, I don't know. I've just had so many wonderful experiences in Chicago, just sitting there on the sidelines. Never run it. Never come close to it, Tom. But I stay at my sister. It goes right by my sister's house in Lincoln Park. And we've had this little party, and the kids cheer and hold signs. And I just love that race. I love that time of year in Chicago.
Yeah, it really is amazing. And you know, the participants come from all over. I mean, this is a international group of competitors there, as well as our own homegrown competitors. So, yeah, it's a very interesting affair, no question about it.
What's the most you've ever run, Tom? I think for me it's a 10K. I think I did a 10K. Did
well,
you do a 5K? Or
I didn't. When I ran it, I wasn't thinking about it. When I first came to town, I used to walk regularly from up here on the north side, right downtown, and then back again along the lake. I don't have time to do that as much anymore. But I always loved that. But running, I never measured it officially. But, I put some pretty good runs in there. Haven't done it recently, but maybe you'll get me going on this. Who knows?
My favorite is the turkey trot. You got to get up super early the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But they do run/walk. So, you know, you can have a coffee in your hand and you sort of walk briskly. And that's okay, too, Tom. That one's a great one to check out.
We have a marathon that's run, a little mini marathon up here in the Edgewater neighborhood on the north side. And I've been invited over the years to come and say, on your mark, get set, go. And I always marvel at the level of energy at that hour. They're held on Sunday mornings. And the folks there are always, and they're all ages, but they're always full of enthusiasm and energy. And it's pretty darn impressive, to tell you the truth.
It's so impressive. I'm so impressed by the folks who are able to do that. It's on many people's life checklists. And so that's another reason why it's so cool to be part of that experience on that day. I just love it.
It is.
So we'll see. Warm weather they'll be expecting. Hey, Tom, I don't know if you noticed, but social media was down yesterday for a good portion of the day.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. Folks relay a lot of pictures and information to us, and we in turn kick out a good deal of information. But yeah, wasn't that something? It just totally went down. Tell you one thing, interesting reviews of that outage in the New York Times this morning, and they were pointing out how many billions around the planet were inconvenienced by that outage. That not only went down here, but it went out across the world, the Facebook page. And it'll be interesting to hear, won't it, Anna, what happened there exactly? You hear speculation about what went on, but, I mean, what physically took place to cause that kind of outage simultaneously around the world.
We're
pretty
still
amazing.
Waiting to hear. I think it is. And you know, I did see that New York Times article. I thought that was an excellent article because it speaks to how much the world is run by Facebook and its apps. I mean, I thought this is such a good thing. Make people go out and take a walk, make them pick up the phone and talk to someone or communicate and not go on for social media. We all need a break from that, Lord knows. But then I was looking at that New York Times article, and they say papers around the world that can't afford to publish go to Facebook, and that's the only place they publish. They said that victims' rights organizations that connect with people who need help every day do it through WhatsApp, and that they were cut off. The politicians who communicate with their constituents only through WhatsApp and Facebook. They said that it was a lot more impactful than I guess I'd initially thought of.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, so many businesses depend on social media as platforms for their business and for conducting business. And you know, it's interesting, Anna, you probably saw the 60 Minutes piece that was done with the whistleblower, Facebook. And it's ironic, isn't it? It must have been a pretty tough day at Facebook headquarters to have the whole system go down around the world the day after there's been an explosive revolution on the operation of the Facebook company. So that's quite interesting.
The conspiracy theories, I'm sure you saw them, were out there right away. Oh, now she's testifying about this, and then it goes down. Was that a hacker taking aim because they were mad at Facebook? Was it Facebook themselves that wanted to take the platform down so that people couldn't communicate about what was happening? Everything was out there, Tom, but I think we're still waiting to hear exactly what it was, really.
Yeah, I think you're right, Anna. Well, that's the state we're in of the world these days. You know, there's always something going on. Wow. Pretty amazing.
Something alarming. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Hey, I there's a lot to talk with you about. I want to pause for traffic. But, Tom, I know that there's something I'd love to understand a little more about. The physics Nobel rewards, the prizes were out. And three scientists were given the award for climate science. First time they've recognized. Two of the three.
Yeah. There were three scientists, physicists awarded, and two of them were on the ground floor of developing the climate models. But yeah, we'll talk about that, Anna.
Right.
That's good.
Back with Tom Skilling, sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Tom, I saw you post this to your Facebook page. It was the first time I'd seen it, and it made me go to the article and read it and learn a little more about it. I'd love to understand more from you. Nobel Prize for Physics goes to several scientists who laid the groundwork for today's climate forecast models. Tell us more, please.
Well, you know, computer modeling has revolutionized weather forecasting in general, and it certainly has climate science, that's for sure. In fact, my friend Louis Uccellini, who's a retiring head of the National Weather Service, considers the development of these computer forecast models we use in weather forecasting as one of the top 10 achievements of science in the 20th century, the century just completed. And the scientists recognized were on the ground floor of climate modeling, which is a little different than day-to-day weather forecast modeling because you're looking more at general trends instead of specific storms or anything much farther out into the future. And, you know, for all the criticism climate models have gotten, they've done a remarkable job on a very, very complex system. Modeling the atmosphere is probably one of the most complex computer modeling efforts done. They're like no models that are run in the world. There are some economic and chemistry models that are very, very complex, but these models of the atmosphere and the climate system are amazing. And so they recognize Dr. Sakuro Manabe, who now works with Princeton University. He's 90 years old, so he's professor emeritus now. And then Dr. Klaus Hasselmann, who's 89, he's of the Max Planck Institute in Hamburg, Germany. And then there was an Italian physicist, Dr. Giorgio Parisi, who was recognized. Now, his work was more on theoretical physics, but the first two researchers, Manabe and Hasselmann, are considered, founding fathers of climate modeling, which is what we hear about when we hear what the atmosphere is supposed to do going on decades and a century into the future. And it's a pretty complex proposition. You know, the reason it's under the header of physics is because all meteorological forecasting is you're using fluid dynamics equations in these computer models that are run on supercomputers. And these computers do quadrillion operations per second. It's unimaginable the speed and the number of computations that go into making a weather forecast by computer or even more so a climate forecast. But these are among the researchers who developed that amazing technology.
found it interesting in the article that you have on your Facebook page with a link to it. One of the scientists said, I almost wish there would be no Nobel Prize, because then I would rather have no global warming and no Nobel Prize, no need for it. It speaks to his concerns about what's going on.
Well, it's interesting. And of course, the Nobel Prize that comes out of Sweden, they recognize scientists in all different disciplines. Like back on Monday, they awarded the Nobel Prizes for medicine. And so yesterday it was for physics, and there'll be other scientific awards. But these are to recognize scientists who really stand out among their peers. And it's quite an honor. You know, remember that movie, The Beautiful Mind, the Ron Howard movie about the, you know, the mathematician who was dealing with schizophrenia at the same time, you know, he was doing this groundbreaking work and out of Princeton University. And they talk about he's awarded the Nobel Prize, and it's a true story. And, you know, he's rather flabbergasted at receiving the award. And I got a kick out of reading some of the people who have gotten the award this year. They, you know, these are people that are buried in their work. They really take it seriously, and they're not out for prizes and all. So they're kind of surprised sometimes when they're given one. And that often it seems to be the case, and it certainly did seem to be this year, but they're deserving, that's for sure.
Oh, for sure. Thank God for people like them, and you, by the way, Tom. Thank God.
I know. Isn't it the truth? And, you know, I remember when I went to college, it was amazing. We had brilliant dynamicists. These are the folks who do the research in our profession. And they almost operate on a different plane of existence. Their insight into how nature works is just amazing. But, you know, think of the things it's given us, like these vaccines and all the rest. It's folks like that who do basic research, who figure out how to tackle these diseases. And if there's to be cures for cancer and Alzheimer's, and it will come from people like this, which is pretty amazing.
Well, you think people spend their entire life in laboratories and working on things like this with no, you don't know necessarily that will lead to anything. And then one day, boom, it can change everything for the world.
We have so many examples in Chicago. I think about tornado research and Dr. Ted Fujita down at the University of Chicago. What an amazing scientist. You know, there are certain people among us, Anna, who can look at the chaos that seems to be nature to the rest of us and see order in it all and make order out of the chaos. And, you know, we need people with that sort of insight to help us along. They really do come up with some amazing advances from which we all benefit.
Absolutely. No doubt about that, Tom. Hey, give us your insights on what we should expect over the next couple of days. Seems going to get a little warmer.
Yeah, you know, Anna, I guess the best way to put it, last week averaged 10 degrees above normal. This week, by the time we close the books on the week, midnight Saturday night, will have been 10 degrees above normal. Next week, from all indications, will be 10 degrees above normal. That's an amazing anomaly. That's an amazing level of warmth for this time of the year. Now, what we'll see in the next week is we'll continue mild here. We're kind of being cooled by winds off the lake during the days, but the nights are staying up because it's so humid, and we have all this cloud cover. We'll get some rain to come in here and overspread the area Wednesday night, Thursday, and Thursday night. Then it scatters up, and we may have a sprinkle or a light shower before then. But I think by the weekend, we ought to turn partly cloudy and get warm, and we're going to have a, unlike today, tomorrow, and Thursday, we're going to have, when we have winds off the lake, we're going to have weekend winds that blow from the south-southwest. So that means the warmth is going to go right up to Lake Michigan and out over it. And means literally we could have a beach weekend here on, October 9th, which is Saturday, and October 10th, which is Sunday. And that's pretty remarkable. We'll be around 80 degrees, Anna, maybe a tad higher than that, which is pretty darn extraordinary when you figure the normal high this time of the year is in the low 60s, or by that time of the year, the normal high will be low 60s. So it'll be nearly 20 degrees above normal by day at that time. So this is good stuff.
It is good stuff. Too soon to look out to Halloween, I'm sure. And we're just hoping that maybe it doesn't turn into what we had 2 years ago when it snowed, Tom. It doesn't seem as if this trend can turn into that, but you never know. You never know.
Well, you know, it is too early to get real specific, but I can tell you that this warmer than normal pattern seems to be sticking around. What we're going to hear about in the next weekend is there's going to be some very cool air coming down through the west. I mean, this will be the kind of cold air diving into that area of the country that could bring snow to the mountains of Southern California, ultimately. They're going to go into some pretty inclement and cool and even wintry weather in the mountaintops out there. But at the same time, the same pattern that produces that keeps us warmer than normal around here. So not bad, not shabby.
Enjoy it while we have it. That's awesome. Thank you, Tom.
Right. You bet, Anna. Good to talk to you.
Well, it's good to talk with you, too. We'll talk to you next Tuesday. Enjoy the rest of your day, Tom.
You too, Anna. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye for now. It's Tom Skilling, sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. That's going to do it for us today. Hope you enjoy the rest of your afternoon and your evening, and we'll talk with you tomorrow. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.